We're going to start with excellence. God is so good. And here in Exodus 20, it's about the Ten Commandments, right? We're going to memorize them before we're... No. It's the Ten Commandments coming there. The Lord took me there first. And we know, right? All this, that shall not have other gods before me. But I wanted to go start to fight and say, you shall not bow down, right? Where it's talking about carved images and the likeness of it. You shall not bow, serve them. You shall not bow down to any image. I'm going to say that again. We do not bow down to any image. Even if it's the image of what we think is in heaven. But anyway, this is what the Lord is saying. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. This is the part, the iniquity. I'm visiting. I'm the God, the visit, the iniquity, or the sin of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandment. Isn't that great? The ratio is pretty good, right? So if you, what does this mean? That if your ancestors did not serve God and did sin against God, that curse goes to the third and fourth generation. But if your ancestors were godly and planted and served the Lord, it goes to 1,000. Isn't that great? So that's good. Yeah, just hold on to that. Okay, I want you to hold on to that, because we're going to be talking about that. The blessings in the, of a generation. What can we do, right? So let's go quickly now to an example on number 16. And this story is kind of harsh and hard. And, you know, I wrestled with the Lord about how to bring this, right? And in the situation, you know, I don't preach on Sunday that much. I love Pastor George's teaching and get it. But when I do, I make sure that is what the Lord is sending. Amen? So I just want to let you know that I wrestle, but hopefully, right, he knows best, right? So 16:1 say, now Korah is one that we're going to be talking about quite a bit. The son of Izhar, the son of Kohan, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and of the son of Pelet, son of Reuben, took men. Now listen, the author went to details not to say just Korah. He put the generation there, right? We just read about the Lord God is the God of generation. So he wanted to make sure that we knew who, right, is what, who comes, and this one begat one, this one, and that one, right? When you read Matthew or the gospel, sometimes we go fast because we go, well, I don't know what all these names are. I'm just want to point out that God is interesting, and he sees everything, and you're important, and whoever is in your generation is important. And then, now it's said here, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representative of the congregation, men of renown. So these people were leaders. We're with Moses, should have known Moses, should have known the calling, put the hands to the plow. But Korah took 250 renowned, that means people that had a pull, and they rose against Moses. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to him, you take too much upon yourself. For all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourself about the assembly of the Lord. Wow. Have you ever heard something like that? We need to be careful, right? So they come to Moses, and then who made you king over us? No, they didn't say king, but there is criticism and there is a judgment, isn't it? Yes, there's a judgment. Let's see what happened. So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Kor and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show you who is his and who's holy, and will cause him to come near to him, that one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him." So Moses didn't start arguing with them, didn't put them in their place yet. He humbled himself, fell upon his face, and went to the Lord. It's very good, isn't it? How many times, right, if we hear somebody's talking about us, is that the first thing we do? I don't know. And then he told them, right? And so you can read the rest because it's pretty in detail. But this is what Moses, after he prayed to God on 9, tell them. "It is a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to him to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them, and that he has brought you near to him, you and ye all your brethren, the son of Levi, with you," kind of like a question, "and are you seeking the priesthood also?" Okay, what's Moses saying? So, listen, you're serving in the house of the Lord, and that is special. God is handpicking you and putting you in leadership to serve him, and that's not enough? How can you say, you know, we are holy too and we have the same right than you? No, Moses say, you're called too. Why do you feel now that you have to come against me? You get in the picture? We all have been called and we all have a mandate. And it's a privilege when the Spirit of the Lord puts something in your heart and you want to share that. Amen? Now, yesterday we have a leadership meeting and it was so good. Michelle did an excellent job about communication. Yay! It was so good. Yes. And all this is communication. Not a good one here, right, that we're reading. But it's communication because it's communicating something, whether it's good or bad, right? But it was so good. And as a different one of us are in different position in the house of the Lord, it is a privilege to do my part, right? To teach children in church, to, you know, to do whatever your hands find to do, right? So that should be a light, right? When the enemies start coming and putting, like, you know, kind of getting upset and not wanting to be under the leadership, because we are all under leadership. Pastor George and I, we have leadership over us, and we meet with them every month, and they speak to our life. It's not like everything goes, right? It's good to be accountable. It's good to submit to someone. I don't know about you, but I like people to come and speak into my life, because we can be blindsided, right? And sometimes you go, okay, I'm going to think about that, right? It's good for someone to speak into your life. Amen? So then, the other thing I want to bring, Moses, on 12, sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab. But they say, we will not come. What's that? Rebellion. Please protect your hearts from rebellion and pride and judgment. because that will stop you from being all that God called you to do. Amen? And it will open the door for the enemy to have pounce on you, right? And so rebellion is something that is not good. The Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I mean, that's profound. So is there any rebellion in you, right? Against God or against leadership? That's something that you need to go, ow. I need to put that under the blood. I need to stay humble. Amen? So they didn't come. And of course, as you keep on reading, and Korah got all the congregation against them, that's 19, at the door of the tabernacle, then the glory of the Lord came. The Lord, of course, was very upset. And the Lord, you know, spoke, separate yourself to everybody. Just take away from them. They're bringing rebellion. They're talking. They're not good. Bad, bad, bad. Go, go. Out. They did. They separated. And then as you continue to read, 24, speak to the congregation and get away from the tent of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And then go back again. And he said, Moses say, 29, if these men die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of the man, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing and the earth opens its mouth and swallow them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. Notice Moses didn't say they have rejected me. They have rejected who? The Lord. But what a challenge. So if the earth open up and they all go down, then we know that I'm not supposed to be in leadership. Wow. Now it came to pass, 31, sadly, as they finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened his mouth and swallowed them up with their household and all the men with Korah with all their goods. What a sight. So they all and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perish from among the assembly. And then all Israel were crying, oh, we're going to get swallowed too. You imagine? Just imagine. What a sight. Are you glad we are under grace? So that was a harsh judgment against who? Korah, right? And so, but the story, thank God, doesn't stop there. And we're going to learn a lot from it. So this happened to them. And then we see, I want you to go Numbers 26, 11. And there's a census being done in Moses' time, you know, families, who's this, who's that, names and all that. And then 11 says this, nevertheless, the children of Korah did not die. Wow, wait, mercy. Korah died, but not his children. And this is exciting. They survived. They were not under that judgment. They were good. And so the Bible tells us in Chronicles 9:19 too, that they were gatekeepers in the temple. They were watching. You see, just because their ancestor sinned against God, doesn't mean that the curse needs to go. It talks about that God visited iniquity to the third and fourth generation. So a whole lot more generations has gone by. So when they say son, it's not immediately the son, but the grandson, the great-grandson. You understand that? You know, it's that generation. What about if I tell you that the son of Korah, when you open your Bible in Psalms, they are the one that writes a lot of psalms. They became psalmists in the house of the Lord. And they rode as the deer panteth for the water. So my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart desire, and I long to worship thee. Listen, this is profound. Talking about those generation curses. Talking about that a curse without a cause will not come. Talking about the sins of the Father, there's redemption. What am I trying to bring? We are in a better covenant now. And just because you were not raised in the house of the Lord, and just because maybe your generation before you didn't serve God, does not annul you. Are you hearing? Are you listening? You have a new covenant, and then you can step out just like the sons of Korah did. Yes, they knew what their ancestor did. They knew the story. The earth opened up and God sent them there. They were not bitter against God. Are you listening to me? They're not mad at God. They still worship the Lord. As for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. So I was not raised in a Christian home in the sense that we know now. In fact, Pastor George and I were the first one in both generation to be born again. And for that, we went through a lot. But look what the Lord has done. Aren't you glad? I'm glad that God didn't judge me because of my ancestor. Nevertheless, the devil's mad and gave us a lot of hard time to keep us. Amen? But he didn't win. I led my father to the Lord 2 days before he died. Do you imagine? I can't explain to you the travailing and the prayer, the pacing and the pleading for his salvation. This is the generation where you're going to find a lot of young people doing exactly the same way. Instead of the parents praying for the children are praying for the parents. But I'm here to tell you, you're in a good place. You stand before the Lord and you repent and you say, Lord, I am so sorry for what my ancestor did. I repent in behalf of them. You see Daniel, the prophet Daniel, when he prayed, and he was a mighty man of God, but when he prayed, he will come before God and say, we have sinned, when he was praying for Israel. I'm here to tell you, the generation that is standing and praying for their mom and dad and grandma and aunts, you got the power. You see, from David, right, David, back to Moses, 300 years, guys. He was in the seventh generation. That means that, you know, he visited the iniquity of the third, fourth generation already have gone. Thank God, right? So it's less pushing. But they stood. And guess what? Not only one psalm, Korah's children wrote Psalm 42, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 84, and 88. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that brings joy. And I just want to encourage the young generation that you look back and you go, oh, Lord, my family. They're just so messed up, just like I was, right? You stand and you pray, because this is the season. Are you hearing me? This is the season where you're going to stand. You'll be like children of Korah. Well, you don't want to call on that, but you'll be like this is children that in spite of what the father did and the rebellion he brought, and God's judgment came, they are not upset with God. Are you hearing me? Sometimes we minister to people, see the hand of God, and because something just don't quite come the way we want it, they get mad at God. Sometimes I go, ooh, let me move here, because I don't want to be shish kebab, right? Mad at God? Listen, we may not understand why some things are happening. Amen? I've been there. I've been confused. It's okay. It's okay to question the Lord. But to be mad at him? But to throw at him like, you know? Now, they had a choice, Korah's children. They had a choice to say, like they say in Psalm, better is one day in your court. They wrote that one. Then what? Than a thousand elsewhere. Amen. If you have time, please read those Psalms. Now that you know the background, there's no anger. There's no bitterness. They humble themselves. So what am I saying this morning? It's time to line ourselves and say, Lord, I will pray for my family. They will come to the kingdom. You see, my Lord met me, and both of my parents got saved. My daddy was, ooh, last minute, they are like, oh, Lord, please. But he did. And my mom. And then after that, our family has come to the Lord quite a bit. From not wanting to have anything to do with us. We were like the plague. There's a price sometimes to pay. But God. And you know, it takes some years. This last trip we made to Puerto Rico, I mean, they were lining up. The same one that called us everything and closed the door and didn't want anything to do with us. They're lining up to ask us to pray for them. Isn't that something? You know, I stand there going like, oh, look what the Lord has done. But years went by, okay? I wish I can tell you, oh, you know, it was good. No. And so again, the faithfulness of God. So do you have a loved one or family? You were not raised in the church. It's okay. You forgive your ancestors. You pray. If they're alive, pray. If they die and they wounded you, it's time to let go. Put it in God's hand. You never know about the salvation of your family either, right? That's a way of the heart, right? The Bible says you will know them by the fruit, right? You will know them by the fruit. But that's about it. So we don't judge hearts, but we trust in whom? In the Lord. So for those of you that it seems like it's going real hard, right? Sometimes you say, what's the use? You know, you feel attacked. You feel isolated. We've been there. We know. You feel judged. You feel like you have to be walking real fine line, or the first thing that comes out, oh, and you call yourself a Christian. Amen. Right? So you travail and travail and travail. And know that God is not dismiss your prayers and your standing for your family. They will come. The Lord said they will come. Hang in there. You plant the seed. You plant the seed. You plant the seed. And you are just off your generation. Because you don't fit the mold. But that's okay. The Lord is using that. So just be encouraged in the name of Jesus. They will come in the name of the Lord. They will see the light. Repentance will come. And you will see the good harvest of the Lord. Amen. So again, encourage yourself in that. No, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That child, that mom, that dad, it's God doing it, but you don't give up. You, what? Serve the Lord. The children of Korah stay in the gate, guarding the gate. That's what you do. They stay in the temple. And they rode out past the deer, panthers for the water. That's one of my favorites. And I didn't know they wrote it. They know. What a pure heart, right? And you know, they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them like you and I have to move us there, right? So know that the enemy hates you when you pray and intercede for your family. Don't compromise. Amen? Don't compromise. I'm going to say it again. Do not compromise. What is sin, but you don't have to be ugly about it. Amen? You stand in righteousness, and you bring them with love because you love them, and you love the Lord. They will come, the good harvest. And I know there's people here that are going through quite a bit. Amen? And especially with the family. Oh, you go to that church? Oh, my goodness. You know, sometimes they're forbidden to come here. I don't know why. We're good people. No. But I remember through the years, children that have come. I say children, young teenagers, where they, long to be here, long to come on Friday night, and they're forbidden to come. You don't give up. Amen. You stand. You intercede. You're under grace. There's power. And I remember declaring over my mom and over my dad. My daddy will come with all kinds of fight loss, kind of like. And I will go, oh, Lord, help me. But God. Amen. And I remember, Dad, have you made peace with God? I was just crying out, pacing the hospital as he is in ICU. And I was thinking, Lord, if he die, he's not going to make it. Please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord. I went one more time. Let me tell you, before that, I was taking care of him and he smacked me. Yeah, you can laugh. Actually, I just came sideways. I mean, I was trying to. And he did. He was so angry. But you know, it wasn't him, right? I could have given up. Like, forget you. I was trying to cover him as he, I know, was not in a good place. And man, that was his last. Tackety. Like, tears coming out. But it was hurt. But I didn't give up. I didn't give up because my Father, Heavenly Father, knew where my heart was, right? And then it came one more time, but this time not too close, okay? I did not embrace him. I was just like, Dad, have you made peace with God? Amen. I forgave him for that one and a whole lot more. You do. You forgive them. You release them. And he say yes. And I went, what? And then something how the Lord answered your prayer and then you doubt it. You're healed. There's no pain. What? Well, let me see. Let me try. No. They didn't put high heels. No, that didn't work. Put it this morning and it was like somebody bit me. I went, okay, vanity, go in Jesus' name. Took those shoes off. But I will use them one day. It's okay. No big deal. Not for you. For me, it is, because I'm short. I like my high heels, okay? So this is war. This is what I told the enemy. Oh, no, you did it. Messing with my high heels. No. Look at you, right? Now I have to go, but it's just for a season. No, it bit me. Something literally bit me when I put those shoes. Oh, that's a sign. Took the high heels off and put these ones. Now, don't look at my shoes. I don't